Oh, that's all right. I'm just going to put our website up here. Okay. I want to do a little advertising too. We've got a website now, and it's charitybible.org, www. And Charity Bible's all one word. And so go check us out. We've got our messages there from church. Most of them are my dad's, and then I've got a few on there. And Alan Bradley, who's here, and he's got some messages on there. And we also have some articles and some other things, and links to other sites. And so if you get a chance, check that out. And we've had it up for about a year, and it's really, really, you really do see, you see the results. We get emails and from people. We've gotten emails from people all over the world in different parts of the country, and it is a good ministry, and it's also a way to tell somebody, you know, check out this website. And it also, you know, you can download all the messages for free. So check it out if you get a chance. If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, I am. I'm an assistant principal at a middle school, and it's really eye opening when you work with people. Those of you who have jobs in the public sector, to see, you really get a chance to see the world without the colored glasses on. You know, a lot of times people are sheltered to what's really going on in the world. But when you're out there in it and working with, you know, kids who come home at night and fix their own supper and tend to their own brothers and sisters, and their parents work all night and or are out doing other things all night, and then they're, you know, they come to school, you know, you really see, you really can see the depravity of man, just put it that way, and how we need a savior, because this world is ugly. It's an ugly place, and it's all because of sin. Before we get started, I saw this preacher do this one time. If you would, everybody's got a Bible, raise it up. That's great. This is my Bible. No. those guys in Texas, you just don't know. But I want to talk to you today about what you just raised up there, your Bible. I want to talk about it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Very familiar. We'll start here. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture, it says, is given by inspiration of God. And I want to talk a little bit about that inspiration and what that means. A lot of times people think inspiration has to do with a painting, and you know, a scene that you see. You go up here and look at the top of a mountain, and you look down at the view, and oh, that's so inspiring. Or this word inspiration here really means, what it means is God breathed, God spoke. When you talk, all you're doing is taking air. Words is air traveling up over vocal cords and producing a sound that then comes out of your mouth. And so literally what the word inspiration, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is basically Scripture comes from God's own mouth. He speaks the word. It's spoken. It's God's spoken word. And to show you what I'm talking about, turn over to Acts chapter 1. The Bible today is not given the preeminence that it deserves, and it's not given its place in people's lives as it should, and it's not taken seriously. Most of the time people look at the Bible that you have in your lap there as some sort of guide or some sort of chicken soup for the soul, you know, some sort of Reader's Digest heartfelt moment type things. And that's not what this book is, and it's not what this book is about. This book is God speaking. Look in Acts chapter 1, look at what in verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture, and I'm not going to get in the context here, but this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to him that took Jesus. This scripture was fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. In other words, the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost, spoke through David to prophesy this event of Judas's betrayal of Jesus Christ. It was God speaking, and the words were then written down. Look over in another, look in Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to go through several scripture here today. So just get those fingers limbered up. Hope y'all had coffee or Red Bull or something. In Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 7, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Who said this? The Holy Ghost said it, right? Who wrote it down? David did in the Psalms. But who gets the credit for saying it? The Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we fall in a trap, and I do it all the time. And I'm over in Romans, and I'll say, Paul says in Romans that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Who actually said it? God did, the Holy Ghost. He said it. He wrote it. It's His words. Scripture. All Scripture is. The word script, by the way, in Scripture, has to do with writing. It's writing. All Scripture is God's words written down. Words come in various forms. Words can be spoken. Words can be written down. As we saw with last night with the sign language with the song, it can be signed. Words come in various forms. Scripture is God's words written down in script. That's Scripture. And it's important for us to recognize that what you have in your lap there, if it's a King James Bible, is God's words that He has spoken, that has been written down. Look over in Proverbs. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. Another trap that people fall into, and this world, we were talking about the other day, King James Bible is getting harder and harder to find. You have very limited types of King James Bibles you can choose from now. Used to be you could find them anywhere, wide margin, big words, whatever. And it's getting harder and harder to find, and it's because of the fact that people don't want the Word of God. And even those that claim that they believe the Word of God don't really believe the words of God. And there, and you can't separate them. And I want to show you that. Look, in Proverbs chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words." Is that plural? It is, isn't it? "My words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Out of His mouth, the words that He speaks gives you knowledge and understanding. You don't know anything about God today outside of what you know in this Bible. And anything that you found out about God that isn't in this Bible is not the God of heaven. The God of this world maybe, but not the God of heaven. This is where you find knowledge. This is what come out of God's mouth and written down. And it's words, plural. If thou will receive my words. You see, people talk about the Word of God all the time, as if the Word of God is some sort of concept. In other words, they'll pick up any Bible, whether it be the NIV or the New King James or whatever version you want to think of, and they'll hold it up and say, "This is God's holy word, and I believe what it says about me, and I believe blah, 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 blah." But what they really mean is they kind of believe the concepts that are in the Bible. They don't actually believe the words that are in the Bible. They believe the Word of God is you know, it by inspiration, and it's perfect and all of this. But then they go about changing the words. Notice another, look in, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look in verse 10, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. "Specially the day that thou shouldest stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days, that they may live upon the earth, that they may teach their children." That they may hear all the words. Oh, not just the words they want to hear, or not just the concept of what I'm trying to say, and then you put it in your own words. He wanted them to hear all the words. Every single word. Look in chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by" what? "Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Every single word. Not just the words you want. Not just the words that make you feel good. Not just the words that you kind of can understand. Every single word. So when you get people come up to you and saying, "Well, that word shouldn't actually be in the King James. It should be translated this word." They're not taking every word. Every word of God is pure. And we're going to look at that. Every single one. While we're in Deuteronomy, real quick, turn to This fan keeps blowing my Bible pages around here. No, it's fine. Look in chapter 27. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 27. It actually feels good, but it's a little annoying. Verse 26, Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the, what? Words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. All the words. You don't get away from that. It's all of the words. God didn't leave us to just choose what words we wanted. He gave us His Word, and the Word of God is made up of the words of God, and you can't separate the Word of God from His words. It's kind of like the body of Christ. The church, which is His body. The church, which is His body, is made up of many members. Right? Can you decide, well, I don't want that person to be in the body of Christ, so he's not going to be in the body of Christ, so I'm going to take him out. You don't get to choose that. And you don't also get to choose which words that you don't like. And these Bible correctors, it just wants me to pull my hair out. Because they'll brag about how much they love the Word of God and how much they believe the Word of God and that it's perfect and that it's inspired. And then in the next breath, they'll say, well, it's unfortunate that the King James translated this word here. I had a guy one time, and we were having a discussion about, he worked for the American Bible Society or one of those groups. And we were talking about the King James, and he was talking about how that he really appreciated the King James and that it was a really strong translation of God's Word. And I said, well, he said, there's just a few things that I think should be changed in it. And I said, well, why don't you change those things and then you would have God's Word, right? Oh, no, it's God's Word. It can't be God's Word if it needs changing. It can't be. If one word is off, if one word is wrong, then it's not God's Word. You know what? If God allows one person into the body of Christ who was unrighteous, who was unfit, it taints the whole body. It's no good. So is it with words. And they're pure words. Let's look in, let's go to Psalms. Let's see, go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every word of God is pure. If there is a word that shouldn't be in this Bible, and it is, then you don't have God's Word, because every word is pure. So when you get somebody who wants to talk to you about this word shouldn't be there and this word should be translated that, they don't believe their Bible's the Word of God. No matter what they say, whether it be Charles Stanley, whether it be John Hagee, whoever it may be, if they don't believe the words in this Bible are pure words, then they don't believe they have the Word of God. And guess who becomes the authority then? They become the authority. You have to go to them because this word may not mean that. And you have to go to them to find out if this word really means that or if it means something else. and you can't trust your Bible. Don't let somebody fool you into not trusting your Bible. That's been Satan's plot all along, is to get people to doubt the Word of God. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said that? No, that's not really what he meant. And notice what it said there in Proverbs. It said, add thou not unto his words. And then in other parts of the Bible it says you don't add to it and you don't take away from it. And people do that constantly. They take words out, they put words in, they add, on and on and on it goes. Don't let people do that. You've got God's pure words sitting on your lap if you've got a King James Bible. It is pure. It's God's Word. It's not only pure, but it's sure. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. He said in verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What he was talking about there was that Peter had been there on the mount when Jesus transfigured himself into light. Moses and Elijah's there. They hear the voice of God saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. They physically saw and they physically heard that. And what did Peter say? We have a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, the Bible and the Word of God take precedent over anything you've ever seen, over anything you've ever heard. The Word of God is true and everything else is a lie if it contradicts the Bible. That means if the Bible says that the sky's green, whether or not you see it as blue or not. That's how God wants us to look at His Word. It's a more sure Word than what you see and what you feel. Why? Because, hey man, you're liable to see things you don't that aren't there. You're liable to hear things that wasn't said. It happens every day. My wife claims that she says stuff to me all the time and I don't hear it. We have that argument. That's a daily argument. I just, every day, it's on my agenda. We're going to have an argument about it because she told me something and I said she didn't tell me. You can't trust yourself. That's why the Bible says that you're not to lean not into your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. How do you trust Him? You trust His Word. That's all we've got from Him. That's all you know about God. How can you trust somebody that you don't know about? And how can you know about them? Right here. And you lean not in your own understanding. Now, I know there may be somebody out there, and I've been talking about the Word of God, and the old argument is, yeah, but that's just the originals. Just the originals are inspired. It's just the originals that were that God would have us to call His Word, and then what we've got is just a man's attempt to bring that back, and that there'll be errors in it because man had a part in it. Folks, God has never put stock in the originals and magnified the originals. If you go back to, and I'm not going to turn there, but if you go back to Exodus chapter 32, Moses is on the mountain. God takes his finger and he writes on tablets the commandments. Moses is walking back down the mountain, looks down there, and he sees that they're worshiping a calf. And Moses did probably what I would have done. He said, these people don't deserve this. And just threw it down. There went the originals. Oh no, what are we going to do? We don't have the originals. You know what God did? He made a copy. 2 chapters later, he says, Moses, get on back up the mountain. We're going to do another copy. You know, that's how he's always done it. Look in Psalms chapter 12. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. The words, Psalms 12, 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of what? Earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt, what? Preserve them from this generation forever. Who is it has the responsibility of preserving the Word? God does. If somebody tells you that God's Word has not been preserved, they're basically calling God a liar in Psalms chapter 12. Folks, you've got a preserved copy of God's Word on your lap if you've got a King James Bible. It's been preserved. You know how He preserves them? Look over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. You know, I've heard 2 times already in this conference that if you want something to, if you want a reservation for a conference, or if you want a copy of a CD, what did the preachers tell you to do? Write it down. That's what I do when a teacher comes up to me at school and says, I got a light out in my room and I need you to get it fixed. I say, you better write it down. Because by the time I get about 5 steps up the hallway, I'll forget it. But notice what God has a plan for that. And in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. God's Word is preserved through written copies. No coincidence at all that Johann Gutenberg, he's the inventor of the printing press. He's the one that began to be able to take words and copy them through a mechanical means. The motivation behind his invention was this Bible right here. It was used. The first printing press ever used by man was used to make God's Word. That's not a coincidence. Because that's how God does it. That's how God's preserved them. And He preserves them despite of man. In spite of man. He does it because even though man can mess it up, it's God's responsibility to preserve it, and so He does it. In spite of how sorry we are. They're preserved words. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 30. You know, words are written down and stories are written down so that they'll be remembered and so that they'll be remembered correctly. And God knows that about man. He couldn't trust man to just have the Word of God transmitted ear to ear by a spoken word. Because I can start a rumor, or I can tell a story to Steve, and then Steve pass it along, and it goes through the building here, and each person tell that person what I've told them, and by the time it gets up here to Jerry, it's going to be a different story. There's going to be words added. There's going to be words taken out. There's going to be exaggerations. If you write it down, it's preserved forever. There's a fascinating story here in Jeremiah chapter 30. Look in verse... did I say 30? I meant 36. Jeremiah 36. I'll get it right in a minute. Didn't write it down. I looked and that's not it. That's not where I want to go. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 2. God's speaking to Jeremiah here. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Take thee," verse 2, "take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, and that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." Then Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Neriah, and Barak wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Barak, saying, "I am shut up and cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in a roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities." So he's written this thing, and these are some horrible things that are going to happen to the nation Israel. And he's supposed to read that to the nation Israel. The Word of God is powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword. And so it goes and it convicts and it causes people to fear and it causes people to dread. And that's what was happening here. And so Barak goes and he reads all of this that's going to happen to the nation Israel. And it stirs up the people, and they get all upset. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. If you get a chance, go and read it. It's really an interesting chapter to read. But they all get stirred up. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And so ultimately, they take it to the king. Look in, look in verse 20. Well, let's start in verse 20. "And they went into the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehadu to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama's scribe's chamber. And Jehadu read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehadu had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid." Now hold on a minute. They had been very afraid. They had been very upset about what was written and what was going to happen. And they were confused about it and they were upset. And they took it to the king. And you know what the king did? He took it out, cut it with a knife, threw it into the fire. You know what that caused the people to not be anymore? They weren't afraid anymore. Do you realize that that's what preachers do to people every day? People will read their Bible, or they'll hear a gospel message, or they'll see the truth. And they'll run and they'll be confused about it and they'll be upset about it. Because it contradicts what they've learned and what they've heard. And they take it to a preacher. And you know what the preacher does? Well, it doesn't really mean that. You know, when in Colossians chapter 2, where it says all trespasses, it don't really mean all. Well, the lake of fire, that's just a figurative for, a symbolic for something else. You know what they're doing? They're taking the Word of God and they're cutting it with a penknife and they're throwing it in the fire. And people feel better. They're not afraid anymore. But it doesn't change the Word of God. It doesn't change what the Word of God says. And you know what the great thing is that even though this original copy got messed up, look in verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch spoke at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. Made him a copy. He's always made him a copy. My question to you is, we know that the God, we know, according to the Word of God, that God's Word is pure, that God's Word is sure. We also know that He's magnified, the Bible says He's magnified His Word above His name. We know what God has said about His Word. The question is do you believe that? Do you believe this is God's Word? Do you receive this as the Word of God and not the Word of men, like Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians? He said, the Thessalonians, he said, you received the Word of God not as the Word of man, but as it was the Word of God. Do you receive it? Look over in Psalms 119. And I'll be done. In Psalms 119. There is somebody here, no doubt in this size of the crowd, it's been said before, that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. For whatever reason, you have not trusted the words of God that says that you're a sinner and that if you want to be saved, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've not received those words. You've not trusted those words. Well, I can tell you, this is God's Word. And if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved because that's what the Bible says. And you need to just settle it right now. I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm going to believe what it says about me, that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And I'm going to believe what it says, that if I'll call upon the name of the Lord, I'll be saved. And just settle it right there. This is God's Word. And if you are saved, you need to treat this like God's Word. You need to read this like as if it was straight from God, because it is straight from God. This book here ought to have high priority in your life. The decisions that you make in this life should be based upon the principles of this Word. And you need to rightly divide this Word so that you can understand what it is exactly God would have you to do. You need to take in the Word. Look, last one, verse Psalms 119, verse 103. 119, verse 103. 119 verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word of God here is referred to as something that you would eat. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. How much do you eat of the word? Are you starving? There's probably somebody here that's starving to death because you just don't read your Bible. You don't study your Bible. And let me stress this most of all. Don't let somebody take this Bible away from you. And I don't mean physically. I mean, don't let somebody put a doubt in your mind about a word here and a word there, and what about this word and what about this word. Don't let them do that. This is God's Word. You don't have to, you're not told to understand every little word, but you're told to believe and receive every word. Thank you.